Wabadoo.
Wabadoo, baby,
So earlier today, I recorded with one Keith Chow.
Oh, the boss was on a podcast. The boss man.
And he was wondering what happened to the oh shit that used to accompany every start of the show. So
if the boss wants it, the boss gets it.
That's the good stuff. That's the good stuff. Oh, man. Oh, man.
I'm sure everyone, the dozens, potentially, hopefully, of listeners we get, I'm sure, really were missing me blowing the fuck out of their speakers and or their ears with that noise.
Yeah, they did.
Like, they don't fucking get enough of my goddamn voice on this podcast as is.
Yeah. Well, Brandon Chalmers, welcome once again to the Fucking Do It podcast. We are part of the Hard Knock Media Podcasting Network. That's Knock as an N-O-C, Nerds of Color. You will see the banner ad throughout the entire show because I figured out how to record this thing.
Because we fancy. Because we fancy.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's a great network. We're still on it. I even guest starred on Hard Knock Life, Keith's podcast today, talking about
and other Hove related things.
Hove, talking about Dark Fate, Terminator Dark Fate, which apparently nobody saw because it's already out of theaters.
Sure. All right. Wait. Talking about the one that you and I talked about?
Yeah, the newest Terminator movie that's apparently not doing already so good. Out? Yeah.
It's all right. Well, you know, I, for one, am appalled and saddened about the idea of a franchise that they have thoroughly fucked into the ground, not getting a proper market share.
Yeah.
It's a shame. It's something that we have learned so little about the universe of and have had so few chances to watch movies of is just not getting a fair shake. I mean, where do, I don't know, millennials? I don't know who the fuck we blame for this.
I think people are just tired. I think
boomers. I'm gonna take a shot in the dark, Jamie, and guess that we can pick on boomers on this podcast. So boomer, don't go to the fucking Terminator movie. Whatever, it's fine. Just complain about, I don't know, fucking something involving I don't know, Bennigan's, Applebee's. We killed this week, but I'm sure we killed something. Yeah. Like, hop on your Harley Davidson that is apparently dying because we don't buy those either, and then not go see the new Terminator movie because it has a strong female lead, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Yeah.
So look for that. I think, I don't know when they post, but you'll hear tomorrow me yelling fuck at Keith for a good about an hour. So it'll be fun.
Like, you haven't gotten enough of Jamie Noguchi yelling fuck here.
Yes. Yes. The fuck quotient. Oh, and the interesting thing is, he doesn't record video. So like it was weird, having to put on, like, not having to worry about putting on clothes. Like,
oh shit, you did that thing naked?
Yeah, I could just wander around like the house without any clothes on and podcast, and it was great. So
no, I get it. It's that time of year, falls out, balls out. Like, good for you, Jamie.
Yeah, that's the way you go, man. That's the way it goes.
I know some people go Christmas into this wonderful time of the year, but the second I know Jamie Noguchi's glistening nutsack is just in the breeze, that's a good way to spend a Tuesday. I don't care who you are.
Jesus, that's an image. Brandon Chalmers, what have you been geeking on?
I probably, much like most of the internet, have been geeking about Disney Plus and in turn watching the first episode of The Mandalorian.
Oh, yeah.
I literally, like, not, I don't know, 3 minutes before I came down to go hop on the podcast, finished the first episode.
Yeah.
So
good stuff.
I don't want to put any spoilers on anything. Okay, a couple of things I can absolutely talk about. The world building is outstanding.
Okay.
The fun throwaway character development that they have with, like, hey, main character is dealing with this person. This person is rad. I don't know if I'm going to get more exposure to some of these people, but there are three separate characters that I was like, yeah, into this person. If we get more of them, I am excited and fully at the same time, don't expect to ever be into this person again because huge fucking universe.
Yeah.
So I'm here for all this. Also, twist at the end, was not expecting.
Ooh.
Walked in with like, oh yeah, no, this makes sense. This is what this is going to be. And then got to the end and was like, I have no fucking clue where we're going at all. I am here for every bit of it.
Cool. That sounds good.
Yeah, the only thing I can tell you right now is I have not had a huge chance to flip through everything on the service. But I'll tell you guys the same thing I tell anybody else. You get like the first week free. So I would say, go sign up for, they have a $6.99 option. Go sign up for the $7 option, right?
Yeah.
Spend the week watching the stuff. If you get done 5 days out, like if you pick it up today and you're like getting near the weekend, you're like, yeah, you know what? I'm still watching this. Spend the $7 and see if you're good through the month. And check it out. They also had an option right now. I don't know if it'll stay there, that you can combo package Disney Plus, Hulu, and ESPN Plus for like $12.99. So if you are currently a Hulu subscriber, you might want to cancel your subscription and then sign up for Disney Plus and get yourself a nice discount for Hulu while you're at it.
What is Hulu right now?
I thought it's like $8. So reasonably, I think you're really only saving $2 a month and getting ESPN Plus free. And for those of us nerds who are like, yeah, ESPN Plus. But if you were curious about, I think the Super Bowl, I believe, is going to be broadcast on ESPN Plus. And there'll be a bunch of other cool stuff. But at the very least, you get another streaming service. There might be something you're interested in. And in theory, I've yet to check it out. I'm going to have to download the app to find out. You could and should be able to watch Australian rules rugby. And that is worth watching.
Does ESPN still broadcast the Highland games?
They might. I mean, it's ESPN Plus, so I assume it's a streaming service. So they may also have the Lumberjack games. So this might be worth it in and of itself.
Oh, man. Do they have a sumo? Do they stream sumo wrestling? Because that shit is fascinating.
Jamie, this is the question mark that I have here. Like, I walked into this going, yeah, I don't know if I'm going to be interested in ESPN Plus. And after like 4 seconds of talking to you, I'm like, fuck, I need to install that app because I want to find out what else is available on there.
Yeah.
So we might get like dodgeball championships or like, you know, the United States Championship of backgammon or some weird shit like
beach volleyball, Brandon Chalmers. Beach motherfucking
old man,
volleyball.
Old man Noguchi getting excited about beach volleyball. It's called Pornhub. Just do that and then go watch something else. Like, genuinely. Can find some Amazon women on fucking Pornhub. I'm sure you can.
Do they broadcast the Olympics or is that like an exclusive to whatever?
No, I think that's an exclusive like NBC or CBS or whoever gets the contract for that. But
oh, man.
I would imagine that there are going to be some obscure sports that are going to be on that. I know years ago, for a brief shining moment, they broadcast boxing chess, which was something that was coming out of Russia, I think, where the idea is you played a round of chess and then you boxed for a round. So it was like 2 minutes of chess and then 2 minutes of beating each other and then 2 minutes of chess. And the first person to either a knockout, a TKO, or a checkmate wins.
Yes, I see you're doing the Blue Moon Gambit. Unguard, motherfucker, bam.
Right, yeah. So like, you got to imagine that there are some guys who are like, I don't know how chess works, but I'm going to fucking beat this dude's head in. It's going to be awesome.
Man, I wonder if they have the chopping competitions on there or like,
yeah, right.
Oh, like the this could be interesting.
And this is what I'm saying, Jamie. Tell yourselves right now, the holidays are coming up, right? A lot of people will have some time off around Thanksgiving or whatever it is. You're going to be over with some family members. They're going to have kids. Now, here's the key thing. You're going to have full access to the entire Disney library that they have available streaming right now. That means all the Marvel movies, all the Star Wars movies, a ton of Disney content. So all the Pixar stuff. So you're going to be able to basically sit the kids down in front of a TV or tablet, pay for one streaming service, check it out, and be able to enjoy it through the holidays. Frankly, that's I got to be honest with you, that's worth $26 right there.
Yeah.
Just November and December. And if you were like done with it in January, cool, end it.
Yeah.
But at the very least, right now, while you've got family coming over and you've got all these random fucking kids running around your house and you're going to be, you know, kids are going to be traveling, whatever it is, you also have the ability to download things from there, very similar to Netflix, and take them on the go.
Oh, cool. That's
so
a great
you
idea.
Can do that.
Yeah.
So you could be able to download, in theory, Disney movies, Pixar movies, whatever it is, load up the kids' iPad before they go on the road trip and be able to have the movies and not have to pay for them.
Oh,
so
man.
That might be worth it in and of itself. So all I'm saying is I know Disney are our overlords and they're another huge conglomerate, yada, 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 yada. Okay.
But they're the only ones that are going to take on Netflix,
out the window.
Man.
Y'all can go watch Up and your kids can be crying on the way to go see Grandpa. And then they can see Grandpa and they could be like, I just watched you on the TV. It was very sad and I miss you. Like, just perfect. It'll be perfect.
Oh, man. And so I can't get off the ESPN thing because my favorite thing to watch... My favorite thing to watch back in the day was the Highland Games because
you would
get
the cable toss.
Yeah, you would get this giant like Scottish dude who's like a mountain of a man.
Relatable content.
Just like grabbing these stones and putting them on a pedestal. And
then.
And then you'd have the tiniest Scottish dude like with the wizened beard screaming at him. I was like, you put that there right now, you fucking pansy, and just like screaming at him at
Hell
the top
yes.
of his lungs.
Oh. Jamie Noguchi, I am here for this shot-for-shot remake of Rocky, done with all Scottish guys set at the Highland Games. Just this weird Scottish Burgess Meredith. Just
you got it, Rocco.
You're getting the crap thunder and shit lightning. It's going to be good. Go ahead. Let the thing. You pansy piece of shit.
Oh.
Jesus, fuck it. Your mother, Deed. Doing this.
That's the way they need to advertise the streaming service. And if they don't if that's not part of their streaming service, what are they even doing? What are they even doing?
What my curiosity is do they have the old wide world of sports like celebrity things where they used to have the 80s, like the Battle of the Network TV stars the competitions? Where it was like not quite American Gladiator. So it was like John Ritter in a jump rope competition. Yeah. Right. So him and like, I don't know, Andy Griffith or something like that, like on a rowboat, and John Ritter being the fucking horse of a man he is, just fucking riding by. Just right. Yeah. And then the guy who played, the guy who played Andy's like right hand, who also played Mr. Roper, like torn in between his two loves, his 60s love and his 70s.
Oh,
just,
man.
Yeah. That'd yeah. Be- fucking Don Knotts just crying about not knowing who to support.
Little Andy. Who to support?
Andy, John.
I don't give a shit about sports, but I would watch all of that stuff. Like I would watch all of that. Like all the crazy.
You're for all of this.
The weird stuff.
Here's what I know. I brought to you. There is an ESPN Plus streaming service for $13.99 that gives you Disney Plus and Hulu for free. You're welcome, America.
Wait.
Cancel the Crunchyroll subscription. You don't need anime anymore.
Wait. Do they have the Nathan's 4th of July?
Fuck! I
hot
bet
dog
they do.
Eating contest.
I bet they do. I bet they have with, every year of with, the one and only America's own Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Championship, sponsored by the greatest hot dogs America has ever brought you, Nathan's. That's right, the taste of a generation, Nathan's, featuring the coveted mustard belt and also the women's Pepto belt, because we're not going to be condescending to women, but we're definitely going to give them a pink championship belt.
Yeah. With Eater X.
Eater X is the fucking man who has never won. Jamie, we could go back. We could go back. Prepare ourselves for a hot dog related Thanksgiving and really give thanks for the greatest battle in TV history that is Kobayashi versus Joey Chestnut.
Oh man, Brandon Chalmers, were you with us? I think you were with us when we went
on the flight to Los Angeles, shouting in the back of the plane because Jamie, let's ask a question. The Super Art Fight crew is in the back of a jet.
Yes.
Flying from Dulles to Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And we are flying on the morning of the 4th of July.
Oh, yes.
Feeling genuinely reborn, so that I was genuinely reborn on the 4th of July, flying, jet setting through the sky, shouting, not getting excited about, shouting at the hot dog eating contest in the back row of a Virgin Air flight.
It was so glorious.
Not just with you, not just with me, not just with Marty, not just with Ross, but I also believe there was a one Dan Malahome with us.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
The flight attendants as well in the back of the plane, giving us free food because they found us amusing enough, but fucking shouting about Joey Chestnut taking that first coveted mustard belt.
It was so good. It's one of my favorite moments of on the road, just bonkers shit, just sitting like the cramped airplanes and watching this shit unfold. It was glorious. And you hadn't been flying that often. So like, this is like,
was that your second or third flight
or something. Like
I think
that?
It was my second flight ever. Yeah. Like, yeah. Right. Cause it's me and like, yeah, this is what I do. My second flight ever, I am in the back, stuffed into the corner, fucking fist pumping to a hot dog eating contest because you cannot take me anywhere.
It was so good. Man, if ESPN has all of those eating contests,
that's it.
In the backlog.
That's it. Please understand, it will be the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. The dog show, the Westminster Kennel Club dog show, featuring the greatest vocal talent in all of dog show, John O'Hurley. And then afterward, a marathon of hot dog eating contests.
Oh, man. Oh, man. And if they...
Makes you feel better about eating an unnecessary meal at 3 p.m. than watching everyone else eat an unnecessary meal at noon.
And you get the different wiggle techniques and like,
right. Yeah. 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 No one judges your uncle for going for that extra piece of pie. When you watch a man take a handful of hot dog bun and dunk it into fruit punch, just right. Not gingerly, a fist in a dick in like a giant solo cup and just staring splash into the middle distance, just and just fruit punch all down the fucking giblets down the side.
It's disgusting. Right. And I love it.
It's terrible. But you will not hesitate to be like, well, at least I'm not that guy as you go to get another piece of pie.
In the pantheon of things that are quintessentially American, I cannot think of anything that it's all of it. It's all of America. Like,
no, I get that. It's the hot dog eating contest and stealing land from indigenous people is really all we're good at.
Yeah. It's
both, one or the other.
Yeah. It's glorious and terrible at the same time. And to witness all condensed into like a little thing. It's just.
Right. Yeah. Look at everything I own. Everyone cries in the corner. Look at all the hot dogs I've eaten. Everyone cries in the corner. It's essentially the same thing.
Yeah. This is America.
Yeah. Right. I, you know what really, that's what it is. It's manifest destiny is really what the hot dog eating contest is.
Yeah. I mean, it's at Coney Island. Like it's a carny event. It's like wrestling. Yeah. It's just.
Right. It's the announcer for the hot dog eating contest. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? That's what's going to happen. That I need to go. When we're done here, I'm going to go download the ESPN Plus app and I'm just going to search And please understand. And do me a favor. If you could tag ESPN in this, if that hot dog eating contest isn't on there, a letter.
Unwatchable.
Fuck all of that. Jamie, please understand. There's no angry tweets with me. I will put typewriter to paper. To whom it may concern. Fuck y'all. Where is my hot dog eating contest? Mm-hmm. Dictated, not read, Brandon Chalmers. Like, I'll have to hire someone because I don't know how to use a typewriter. But the sternest of dings will be had in between lines.
Yeah.
With a bit of moxie on the back end of that.
And you need to seal it with like a wax seal.
I'm 100% going to sacrifice a Bed Bath & Beyond candle like for this. Like, please understand. Yankee candles will be sacrificed to seal this letter.
Man, I'm excited.
Like, why does this letter smell like Macintosh apples and hate? Like, that seems weird.
Yeah. Like, I don't give a shit about sports, but
that hot dog eating contest. You know what, Jamie? I got to be honest with you. Judging by all of your excitement, you give a shit about sports, just not me. You're like a hipster sports guy. You're not into the mainstream shit.
Yeah.
But like, if it's weird and obscure, you're like, go on.
Or if it's something you're saying we don't have here. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Like the championships of bumper pool, you say? Yeah. I'll throw that on in the background. I can draw to that. I'm good with that.
That's great. Cause like you can watch people do weird shit in your drawing stuff. If you need references for things.
Yeah.
Like I know what you're thinking. Always,
like,
yeah.
I wanted to watch 6 hours of bowling, but I don't know how.
Mm-hmm.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or the X Games. Do they do the X Games still?
Yeah. Because they added cars and all sorts of cool shit. Yeah, it got really cool and interesting. The only thing I think they got rid of was the street luge, which I really miss.
Yeah, that was fun. Also, they used to have
really unnecessary.
They used to have bouldering. I don't know if they have bouldering anymore, but they would set weird shit. Like they would have people like jumping from one end to the other and like fucking weird upside down.
I'm here for all of this. Yeah. The idea of some really, really thick shouldered dude who looks like he belongs in some sort of like French mountain wearing a pair of like Carhartt pants and just braining himself on some sort of handhold that looks like a mermaid's tit or something like that. Like I'm here for all of this. Man, I don't know what is up with goddamn climbing gyms and the weird, like really phallic handholds, but sure enough.
Oh, you know what's up.
Yeah, I know. Which really makes no sense at all.
I cannot wait for climbing in the Olympics. I think we're going to have to have a bunch of viewing parties just to watch crazy stuff happen.
I got to be honest with you. I think I need a dry run. I need you to send me like a YouTube video of what it's like to watch climbing because I feel like that's going to be boring as fuck.
You need to watch it with people who are climbers because you're exactly right. Because if you watch it by yourself, even with the commentary, it's like, what the fuck am I watching?
Jamie, let me be clear here. You are the only climber really that like I've enjoyed spending time around. Like everybody else, I don't really consider a real climber. Like I've been to the climbing gym and those people are nice. They're perfectly nice.
Yeah.
I've never wanted to sit down and watch a competition and crack a beer with a dude named Kyle. Like maybe ever. This is like a life rule.
Well, I mean, you got Dan climbs, Alex climbs, Johnny and Brittany climb. So those are like normalish people.
None of those people are climbers to me.
That's
maybe
true.
Johnny. Like, Johnny. But Johnny's more of a bar star to me than anything else like that because he's superhuman and whatever. Yes. But like
the muscle up.
Right. Yeah. So the idea of his wife Brittany being just about the same and or probably stronger than he is. Makes all the world sense because she's a genuine badass.
Yeah.
Dan Malahome's superhuman and is too busy being like, I don't know, a professor and a super dad and like going for his doctorate and also like running a proper like logistics job at a major college and then all sorts of other shit and then being like a genuinely kind human. And oh yeah, he's renovating his house all at the same time. Like,
yeah,
fuck yeah. Like I don't even mind saying it. Like, I love him to death. I absolutely love spending time with his wife and his kid and everything. Fuck Dan. Dan sucks. Fuck Dan. Yeah. He doesn't count. He's not human. And Alex is a delight, but I don't expect Alex to be hitting that Olympic jam. Alex ain't barn dooring like V6s or whatever the fuck they are. Yeah,
that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Assuming a V6 is even Olympic level, which I know it's fucking not.
No, like they're probably starting at like a V10 and you're just like, what the fuck?
Right. Yeah. 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 And so what's this handhold? So we had a small Guatemalan child spit on this rock face. So yeah, we're hoping that little bit of traction will be enough for them to hold themselves up.
Yeah. This hold, you just stick your thumb on the wall and you hope you have enough grip on your thumb.
Yeah. We've combined the two loves. We've combined ESPN's coverage of bowling with, it's three finger holes halfway up the mountain. A kid spit over there and some guy longingly looked at a random spot in the mountain and said, stick.
Yeah.
Stick.
Yeah. And
that's it.
This next climb is nothing but bolt holes. There are no holes. You just have to stick your fingers in the holes that they screw the holes onto the wall.
Yeah, we decided to set up the bouldering challenge right behind the archery competition. So there's like four arrows and some chip stone behind it. Good luck.
They're doing three styles of climbing. They're doing sport lead, which is the where you go up a route on a wall. Then they're doing speed climbing, which is, I think, of the three things,
probably the most entertaining.
Yeah, because they go fast and they go up a wall, and it's easy to see what's going on. And then the bouldering, and the bouldering all depends on how they set it, because you can set very technical problems that are very difficult and look boring as fuck. Or you can set really dynamic stuff that forces the climber to do wacky shit like jump or like fold in half or like grab their own arm or like do like a leg hook around their own shit. And those are always fun because you see this little pretzel person fold and then unfold and then fold it and unfold and then maybe make it to the top. So like if they set it right, the bouldering could be the most interesting thing. Like the lead climbing is kind of meh.
Yeah, no, give me the speed climbing and I want someone else to watch the bouldering for me to tell me whether or not it's worth a shit. Like if it doesn't belong on a Sports Center highlight, I gotta be honest with you, I'm out.
Yeah. I think we'll have to take a look at like the first round just to see how it goes and then maybe set up like watch parties and stuff.
Genuinely, like it'll be on at 3 a.m. I won't watch it. So if somebody can just hop on YouTube or something like that, watch it for me. Be like, no, this is entertaining. I'll be like, cool. I'll go order a bunch of pizzas and get a bunch of beer. Y'all just come over and we'll shout at the TV.
There was one crazy competition that I saw where they hung cars from the ceiling of a warehouse, and you had to climb up this pole and then traverse all the way across these cars. And there were no holds on the cars. They were just like in various.
They're called cars, Jamie. They have parts hanging off of them. There's plenty of holds.
Right. It was various stages of disrepair. So like, you know, there was chassis on one or just like, you know, little door thing. And that was interesting. Like that kind of stuff, I feel like a non-climber could get into because it's just you're climbing on junk.
No, I'm here for this weird Mario Maker version of the Olympics that you've put together. Because really all you're describing at that point is just Ninja Warrior. And if you're trying to tell me that Ninja Warrior will become an Olympic sport, I'm here for this.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah. I tell you what, let's just cut the Olympics down a bit. Yeah. Like if we can have like the real beautiful stuff like figure skating or like the freestyle gymnastics shit or whatever it is, I'm here for that. Then we cut all of it out. The Olympics happen once every 2 years. We combine both winter and summer. We get skeleton back like crazy. Get rid of the luge. I don't care about the bobsled. I want the one where you got to be on your fucking face.
Oh, yeah.
And like the weird bouldering in some sort of weird warehouse that looks like it belongs in a Michael Bay film. Yeah. And then like, I don't know, dirt bikes, boxing, Greco-Roman wrestling for the fuck of it.
Fencing's fun.
Fencing? Fencing, Can we just get LARPing instead? let's cut fencing out and let's just add LARPing. Yeah, I want to really level the playing field out. No one, I hate to say it this way, I don't know anyone who ever went to college on a fencing scholarship. I don't think anyone should. Like, I want real swords. Like, you got to be able to, like, there needs to be a thing where, like, okay, the first round is fencing, then the next round is, like, I don't know, Highlander style, like, katanas, and then, like, last broad one sword. Is, like, full yeah. fucking, yeah, like, broadswords or, like, claymores or something like that. Like,
ooh, I need claymore. Someone, yeah.
Right, yeah, like, okay, are you speedy and only able to get that claymore every so often and think that your speed's gonna work, or are you just a fucking Hulk who happens to be incredibly delicate with a fencing sword, like, aha, this rapier, and you end up being like the mountain from Game of Thrones with, like, yeah. I don't know, some sort of like weird coat hanger or something. Because honestly, right, yeah, like the Instagram content of watching the mountain train with like a coat hanger on the back of, like, I don't know, a piece of paper or something like that, where you're like, no, Thor, you have to turn guard Perry, damn it, Perry.
That would be great.
And him just fucking get angry and take like an entire rack of weights and throw them across a room or something like, yeah.
Yeah. Just like, yeah, using I'm a rapier as a this. Toothpick, just toing, toing.
Yeah, yeah. It, genuinely just some angry tiny French guy just shouting at the mountain from Game of Thrones, holding a fencing right here. Just right. Yeah. Just telling him how to do the thing and him just getting so fucking angry. Just a pile of bent fencing swords in the corner.
I goes. That'd be great.
Yeah, I'm here for all of this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, Disney Plus.
Jamie Higashi, what are you geeking out about?
Disney Plus. So friend of the show, Michael Dent.
Okay.
He has a new YouTube channel called Vintage Henshin. And he just released his first video essay documenting like the history of getting Ultraman into the US on television and stuff.
Okay.
And it's very well produced. Like, you know, the edits are great. Like the footage he uses to cut together is great. You know, Mike is a amateur voice actor. So of course, like the narration is on point, you know, it's a joy to watch. Like, I know you're not necessarily into tokusatsu. You didn't grow up with it, but like there were a bunch of different types of Ultraman that I had seen throughout the years growing up. And Mike like documents all of it. And it's great to see like where all this stuff is coming from. So I'm going to link to it in the show notes. You should subscribe if you're into that kind of thing or have any interest in learning more about Ultraman. Cause like,
okay,
I think Mike is planning on doing more of that kind of thing, like more of the video essay style stuff.
Nice.
And it's put together really great. It's like a professional package. I hope he goes far with this stuff. Cause like it's informative, it's entertaining, you know, it hits all of my wheelhouses and it's great. So
that's awesome. Yeah. I was going to say, I haven't seen a ton of his stuff, but from everything I've seen, he's super rad.
Yeah. Mike is one of my favorite people. If we ever make it out to C2E2, I think he was at C2E2 one year. We ran into him or something like that, but like,
I think we did. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, Mike is one of my favorite people. I wish we all lived closer so we could hang out with him and stuff and like help him put shit together and do videos and stuff. But
we need a C2E2 trip. That's like, what yeah. is it? We were hanging out over the weekend and there was another mention of C2E2 trip. Like we need to do this is really what it comes down to.
Yeah. So, it's a joy. I love seeing all Mike's projects, but this seems like a great focus for him to kind of, give back to the fandom and to, you know, demonstrate his expertise and stuff. And I hope it translates to other stuff. So like, you know, when people are putting together a box set, they say, hey, there's that Mike kid. Maybe he knows some shit about this. And, you know, so I hope it leads to more shit.
Yeah, me too.
Mike is good people. He knows a lot of stuff. He's been around the fandom for a long time. So it's good to see it all just kind of come together. So
hell yeah.
Watch that shit. I'm going to link it. Watch it. Subscribe to Mike. Hit that bell, the notifications. I know you don't do it for our show because we don't ask for it. But for Mike's.
Smash that button and like and subscribe. Comment below. Do me a favor. Go on iTunes. Let them know that you love us. 5-star ratings.
MeUndies.
I don't know. Yeah, MeUndies.com. /fucking do it. Nothing's going to happen, but type it in there anyway.
Squarespace/fuck your face.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the boss is yelling at us like, we have a fucking Nerds of Color code, you motherfuckers. We should actually find out if they do.
Yeah.
Like, even if we can just feed the network.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think Keith mentioned something about a Patreon, and I wasn't paying attention because it was the end of the show. So I was...
Hang on. Jamie, I know you're not going to edit this, so I'll try and help you out here. Yo, boss, that's not what you heard. What you heard was he absolutely was listening, and then there was a giant earthquake that happened in Rockville. And you didn't feel it, which seemed real weird, but like it happened, and like his house went up, and then it went down. And somewhere in the middle, you talked about something involving a pay, a tree, and a dude named Ron. And he doesn't know whether or not it's to get the podcast network paid or you just like got a real nice gardener that you like. But just do me a favor. Let us know if you happen to know either a tree guy named Ron or there's a Patreon for the podcast network.
Yeah. There might be stuff. There might be stuff that I'm
sure. Missing. Probably. So, yeah. Why not? Let's do that. Yeah.
All right, Brandon Chalmers. We had an away mission. You and I had an away mission for the first time in a long time.
I know.
Yeah. I mean, it's weird. Like, we only used to see each other during shows. So like maybe once a month. Or maybe once every other month, or maybe not.
It was probably more like once a month, reasonably. Like, yeah. And we were hanging out a bit in between and everything, because it's just that time and everything. But yeah, since you and I have lovingly walked away from the warm embrace of a one super art guy named Art and his fights, we have not seen each other as much, and. Yeah. God damn it, did I miss you?
Also, shit's been busy. Like, you know.
Yeah, you have been fucking crazy busy. So,
yeah.
There is that. But also, yeah. I'm a bad friend and I don't see you enough. So, let's put the onus on me, most importantly of all.
Yeah. So, where did we go?
Just what agreeing with me, great.
I agree with you. No. So, where did we go? What did we do? Let's start with the, I guess.
So, we went to Monster of a Show to start with.
Yeah.
Which was super rad. It was a monster themed art show. Jamie, if you want to bring up the thing, I don't know where it is. It's a Hazel! It's a Hazel! Ha Hazel!
All right, you gotta go back to bed, sweetie.
She always seems to visit during the podcast. It's like she knows.
Daddy's talking and yelling and laughing. I need to see more of this.
No, more importantly, Daddy's talking and yelling. I bet Brandon's somewhere near there.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're raising your voice and I suddenly see the bat signal in the sky. My people need me.
It's like, it's in Baltimore. It's near Hopkins, right?
Yeah, it was near Hopkins. I forget where the fuck exactly it was. I can look it up. But anyway, yeah, it was called Monster of a Show. You guys can Google it. You got Google machines. So it happens every year, and it's a rad little art show that has all the vendors have monster-themed wares.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's pottery or clothing or jewelry or, you know, random bits of art. And it's a super fun show. It is very curated. It's kid friendly. It's just like, it's a very calm and really nice place to hang out.
Yeah.
I got a chance to see you, your wife, your daughter. I got a chance to hang out with the one Baron von Saxophone, Michael Bracco. Got a chance to hang out with Kelsey Wales, Kelsey's friend Dan. It was like, it was a really good show to go and see everybody with.
Yeah.
So that was a hell of a lot of fun.
And it wasn't overwhelming. Like, a lot of times we do cons that are slightly on the bigger side, like, you know, Baltimore Comic Con or Awesome Con or Otakon. And it's just, you go in and you step on the floor and it's draining because it's like, every fucking buddy is there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this was just very calming, very relaxed, very laid back, very chill.
Yeah, if there were 20 vendors in that room, I would be surprised. I'd say it's actually probably closer to more like 15. There was plenty of space in between the vendor booths. Everybody kind of had their own area. Everybody was very kind and welcoming. All the vendors that I interacted with were very nice. It was a lot of good stuff there.
Mm-hmm. And this show is great because they take their time to really curate the vendors, but they also treat the vendors very well. Like, they'll go around and make sure they're eating. So they'll give them sandwiches occasionally, like every hour they'll come by and say, like, have you eaten enough and all that kind of stuff. And then they put out, a home cooked spread for everybody to take part of. There is a donation tray, so you can donate whatever you want, and then you can eat some. Like, they had a bowl of chili, they had like vegetable skewers,
yeah, like skewers. real ass food. Like, they had like hors d'oeuvres and stuff like that, and like fruit skewers and stuff like that, with like basically like kebabs with like nothing but fruit on them. And
yeah,
like, it was just, you know, like I said, a very welcoming environment to hang out with. I would highly suggest that you go next time. It was real chill. There was parking right on the facility, so like, it wasn't hard to find parking or anything else like that at the show. It was genuinely a good time.
And it was like it's a one day show.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
I think it was like 10 to 4 or something like that. Like, it wasn't terribly long or anything. So yeah. But yeah, next year, if you were like, oh yeah, I saw a thing for that, I was thinking about going to that, you should totally go to that. The only thing I'll tell you that I wish I had done a little better was I should have put a little scratch aside to really just kind of throw at something dumb. Because had I have planned a little better, I would have liked to have done that, kind of move some budget things around and done that.
Yeah. That Megalodon tooth so necklace cool stuff was there. Amazing.
Yeah, the Megalodon tooth necklaces, and like our friend Grig, who absolutely loves this weird like monster pottery place.
Oh yeah.
That did all these cool. Yeah. And like, so many cool things. Like, I definitely probably would have grabbed something like that from there, or I would have thrown money at Kelsey Wales for some of her animal Christmas ornaments, or one of her prints, or what have you. Like, just, there are so many good people there that do a lot of things, and it was a hell of a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's great. It's great to have like a chill show. Yeah. Cause like the other way to do it is like, if you go to a Crafty Bastards, that's overwhelming too. It's just like, everybody's stuff. So yeah, like,
this is not a Charm City Craft Mafia show. So it is not full of a ton of hipster people and everything else like that. Like, it is, I think the curated portion of it keeps some people away, but it also means that it's just a better experience to kind of hang out with. Like, we were there for a few hours and really I never felt overwhelmed.
Yeah.
It felt like a very calm and relaxed show.
Yeah.
But I know Kelsey and Mikey have done it for the last couple of years, and they both sing its praises. So to my understanding, it's very inviting to also be a vendor there too, which says a lot, because usually that's the way I judge a lot of these shows, is like, how are they treating the people who are there running the thing?
Yeah. Do they set it and forget it, or do they actually give a shit?
Right. And these people seem to give a shit.
Yeah. And that's great, because, you know, we are increasingly dealing with more and more corporate conventions. And so to see something like this being small and local and successful, that's great.
Yeah.
There needs to be more stuff like that. Like,
we
have Be More Into Comics. We have Monster of a Show. I don't know. I mean, there's gotta be more stuff like that.
I'm sure.
I wish it was closer to me.
Yeah, I bet.
And then, after that, we went to a place called Our House.
Our House, yes.
Our House. That's closer to like the auto bar. I don't know the neighborhoods in fucking Baltimore. So
yeah, I believe it's technically in Remington, I think, is the proper neighborhood for that. But it is right near Paper Moon. It's a cool, like, it's the best way to describe it. A food court without the mall. And
yeah,
that's
like good. A food kitchen. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so multiple vendors, different types of food, big open seating area. Everybody kind of goes and hangs out. It's just really, really well done. The majority of us got a place called Bird, B-R-D.
Bird.
And got chicken sandwiches that were super good.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. God, that chicken sandwich is good. That was...
And it, like, it's not like just one patty of chicken. It's like a bunch of patties of chicken. So it's like the size of your face.
It's not even that, Jamie. What it is, it's a properly spiced and dredged chicken thigh. Then it is cut right after being fried, so it's all nice and crispy and everything else like that, piled high, and then with the toppings and sauce on top and everything. And fuck, was that good. Yeah. And then we all got their like shoestring fries, which were also really good. Got a side of that bird sauce, which is really tasty. It was like a spicy mayo.
Yeah.
It was a good meal all around.
They have six sandwiches.
I think like six sandwiches on six there. Sandwiches. I think we all got the katsu chicken sandwich.
Yes.
I think next time I'll probably try the Hanoi hen.
Yes.
There was, I think, the Baltimore bird that everybody seemed to be screaming about.
That was very popular. Like,
I would say of the six, probably four of them I was super interested in. So
yeah,
I definitely think it'll be a stop there again. And, reasonably priced. It wasn't too bad for a meal. I think the chicken sandwiches were like $9. Order fries was like $3. Like, it wasn't too bad.
Yeah.
And then we got done eating lunch there. And then they had their own harvest festival that was going on, which we were not aware of when we were like, oh, yeah, we'll go from here and we'll go to our house to go get something to eat. We thought that we were just going to end up going there to go get something to eat and then figure out what was going on afterward. And they had their own harvest festival, which means when your daughter walked up, there was a petting zoo. And I hear secondhand as she walked up to the table after she walked in that the statement of, there's a petting zoo. We're going to go there when we're done eating. And it was like, well, fuck yeah, we are. Fuck yes. Yeah, we are.
Yes,
let's
ma'am.
Go do this thing. Yes, that's ma'am. What's going to happen. So like dinner, like lunch got done. We went outside. It was a brisk day.
It was cold, man. Yeah.
Yeah. But went outside, had an awesome time hanging out at the petting zoo, went inside. They have a garage that's on the side of our house. They had some vendors set up in there that had some really cool stuff. Had a really cool local gin distillery, doing a giveaway for like either a bottle of gin or like a thing of honey that they do, whatever it is. But they were doing a thing basically like where
a pound of raw honey.
Yes, but like what you needed to do was they tied a mini cider donut to like a string and hung it from a fishing line, and you had to kill the entire cider donut in one bite to be able to put your name in for this stuff. So I think the idea was like kids will totally enjoy this, but they're not going to get it off the ground. I had a donut fished into my mouth and I feel pretty proud. Nailed that to no one's surprise.
Yeah, it's funny. Hazel tried it too.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah. And she got like powdered sugar all up in her eyebrows.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah. The look of victory on most of these parents as their kids wandered around with like just just like powdered sugar all around the corners of their mouths. Cause you know, the parents were just like, go ahead, come get the donut. Go ahead. Just like teasing the hell out of them with this. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was super good. Got your wife to do it as well, which was very funny. I got a couple good photos of that. the photos of that.
You brought your camera.
Go ahead.
I totally forgot, but you brought your camera.
I was genuinely surprised you didn't bring your camera. Oh, that's right. Okay, so something really cool. I got to post the photos in a little bit. So we were at Monster of a Show, and where it's designed is like, I can't tell if it's like a school or a church or whatever it is, but they had like a stage converted area. Church.
Yeah.
But like it had like a stage area that was there to do like small productions of things or whatever it is. So your daughter is sitting on the stage. Kind of, we're just like taking a break during the show. I've got my camera there. Your daughter's sitting on stage. Your wife's there. And I forget, like I don't know if like I offered to hand her my camera or she asked to use my camera. I couldn't remember which way it went, but basically
she probably
like,
asked. Yeah.
I put my Fix 50 on the camera. Handed it to her. You gave her the brief instruction of like, hey, half press is focus, full press is flash. And she's like, cool, good talk.
Yeah.
And she was off to the races snagging photos. She got some really nice shots.
Yeah.
Like a couple really nice shots of her stuffed lamb. One of me like hamming it up behind your wife. Like, yeah, kids are fucking natural to no one's surprise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She has a little a point and shoot that her grandma gave her. This little guy, it's a, I don't know, it's like a Canon Power awesome. Show or something like that.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it's a digital elf. So it's like one of the early Canon digital cameras, 6 megapixels. Let's see, what is this? It's like a 3x zoom, 5.8 to 17.4 millimeter, 2.8 to 4.9. So, I mean, you know, it's like a, it's a good standard walk around little doodad.
Yeah. It's a standard little point and shoot. It's perfect for her. She can be Lilo. It'll be great.
Yeah. So she also is familiar with like My Little Dude, which is the EP5, which is, also very tiny compared to like your camera. So she's used to the boxes. So I wasn't surprised where she was just like, yeah, I got this shit.
I know, but it was super great. Like I wasn't expecting her to nail some great, like genuinely, I think I'm going to probably try and upload it maybe tomorrow. It's probably going to be my new profile picture. Like it's that good. Cool. I really kind of love it. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Right. And once again, always getting a chance to spend time with you and the fam is super great. What else? And then we got done there. She got a pony ride. She was not happy to leave. We were all kind of freezing. By the time the bluegrass band started playing, it was time for us to go.
Yes, it was.
Okay. So I'm going to possibly say something controversial. And when I say controversial, I mean to the people who listen to this podcast, not controversial at all. Because I got to be honest with you. I think the Venn diagram of bluegrass listeners and fucking Do It Cast listeners are two completely separate circles on the other side of a room. Just as a general rule with a band. And I say this knowing that there might be someone listening who has a performance coming up, possibly, you know, at a live art competition show. Nobody cares about your originals. Nobody.
So my knowledge of the genre isn't deep enough to know if that was all original stuff, but I don't care.
Do some fucking John Denver, do some Charlie Daniels. Do some shit that some other people will recognize.
Or do genuinely. Something upbeat. Like everything they were doing was like something. Slow,
yeah. Fucking make a half-assed attempt at some motherfucking Mumford and Sons, man. God damn it. Like, make a fucking run at it.
Yeah. They were playing, I don't even know what kind of stuff. It was bluegrass, but there was no pep to it. There was no energy to it. And it was all like super slow, super emo, super down. And it was
I don't know who's like, look, the guy. Okay. Here's a general rule. If your singer has a scarf, you're in trouble. If your singer who has a scarf is designing the set list, back away slow and find another guy playing a jug. There has to be another one somewhere.
They had a fan. I got a couple of photos of that guy.
Yeah. That one fucking guy who looked like thousand yard stare military me was just like, yep, this sure is some bluegrass. I sure am enjoying every bit of it. Like it's like if Al Gore was a special forces soldier, like just like the chances of this guy like calling the song Celebrate a total banger and carrying a 9mm at that show were 100% for each.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Like just mayonnaise. I don't put spicy food in my body. It's a temple. Like, I don't know what is wrong with you. Just like
there was no devil going down.
I'm going to step out and get a little adventurous tonight. Going to go to that Taco Bell, huh? Yeah. That's right. What you're thinking. I'm going to get sour cream on everything, including my sour cream.
They had a fiddle player. There was no devil going down to Georgia.
Which was ridiculous.
Yeah, there was an electric flute somehow, or electric recorder or something. Some kind of,
I don't know what you call it. It's okay. So the best way I can describe this is there's a video going around on the internet where they show the Jurassic Park entrance, and it starts off really good, and then it sounds like a train wreck, like somebody tried to strangle a cat while also playing the Jurassic Park theme.
The melodicorn.
That's what was being played. What is it called?
The Melodicorn, I think.
The Melodicoron? Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a thing that was 100% happening.
Yeah, man. I don't know, man. You play, you don't need to stay away from slow songs, but start your set with something peppy. Like, start your set with something that gets some asses moving.
Especially more importantly, know your audience. We went to that DC Funk Festival, right?
Oh, yeah.
They start playing. They're playing a bunch of jams and everything else like that. The drizzle starts up, and they know their audience. And what comes out of the smoothest sounds of that guitar? Yes. Fucking Purple Rain. Purple Rain. Yes. Yeah. Just and by the time the rain starts to really pick up and the drums are doing that slow hi-hat ride, like that slow crash ride. And right. And you get into the solo and everything. I'm here for where is my fiddle solo, Purple Rain? Why couldn't they have done that? Because I can tell you right now. Right. Had the fiddle player been doing some full fucking Prince shit, you and I would have literally pulled chairs closer to them to watch. Yeah. Just hands folded under the chin, just going, just play another one. I'm super into this. Just, I'd have been here for this.
Or fucking Freebird, man. Freebird.
Yeah. Freebird. Yeah. I forget who I yelled at in our group. Who fucking would not yell Freebird at them while they were walking to the bathroom, but I know they're fucking dead to me right now. I know that for fucking sure.
Yeah, I think of the things we saw, that was the worst. That was a low light, but everything else was there. It was pretty cool. Like, Hazel got to jump on a trampoline. There was like a aerial thing where like you had the silks, like Cirque du Soleil bullshit, where you sit on a swing and like you flip yourself upside down and you hang from your legs and shit.
Yeah.
There was a baby calf that was super friendly, like,
yes,
nuzzling people and stuff.
Yeah. And then that's what cows do.
And then you had like low budget the Jethro Tull that you
made afterward. And then,
yeah. 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 Yes. Yes, I did. Yes, I did, yes, friend did. Brendan.
Yes, you did.
I did make veal meatballs because they were really good.
Yeah. As you sat your daughter down for a very special episode of the fucking Do It Cast, where you explained, hey, so you know that tiny cow friend that you met earlier? So you can't meet them again.
You can't meet them again.
Oh, I see what you did there. You used M-E-A-T instead, and that's funny because words.
Yeah, so it was great to like stumble upon an accidental Harvest Fest. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was really nice. So that was a hell of a lot of fun. And then my adventure continued.
Ooh.
Yeah, because you, the wife, and your daughter decided to make the long trek from Baltimore back down to Rockville to go home.
Yes.
And I made my way over to Hamilton to go spend the loving evening with the one Baron von Sexifel, his lovely wife, Shauna, their daughter, Amelia. Aww. Kelsey Wales and her friend, Dan. Aww. It was just tons of fun for the entire family. And I think there may have been some more people there, but it was a lot of fun going and hanging out there. And got a nice meal at Silver Queen Cafe, I think is what it's called. It has really rad duck fat fries. I ordered butternut squash pizza.
Okay.
Like voluntarily.
Who the fuck are you?
I don't know, but it was good. Mm. Like, I had it for leftovers today for lunch.
Mm.
I know. Mm. It had bacon on it.
Okay. All right. All right. There you are.
Yeah.
You came back.
Yeah.
You came back.
No, I'm still here. I'm still here. I'm trying to become tighter and brighter for all your family entertainment. Yeah. Like, so yeah, I don't know, man. Like, what do you want from me? I went to the hipster restaurant. I asked what I should order. I was told the pizzas were awesome. I looked at the menu and I was like, well, I'm not going to get this anywhere else or ever. So fuck it. Let's give this a run.
Okay. Okay. That's yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to go to a place, you should try to get something you can't get anywhere else. Because Otherwise, why the fuck bother? Yeah. Like, otherwise, why the fuck bother? Like, that's our motto whenever we go to a different town or a different show. Like, you go to a place that you can't get when you're at home. So if you can't get butternut squash pizza.
I mean, of course, the place is only like 3 miles from my house. So really, I could go get butternut squash pizza kind of whenever the fuck I want.
Yeah.
I don't know when I will. Like, and to its credit, it was a nice little small restaurant. Like, I don't know, maybe had 10 tables in the whole place. Like, it was very much one of those, like, they were a student at MICA and they definitely decided to open a restaurant in Hamilton. And it's like, it's tasty, but I appreciate the fact that, like, it was a one-page menu. They did everything right. Everyone seemed really happy with their meals. There wasn't anything bad. It's a BYOB place, so it was very straightforward. It was an enjoyable place. Like, I had a nice meal. I would definitely go back there again.
How much truffle oil was on the pizza?
None.
What?
And there was none on the duck fat fries either.
Wow. Mind blown.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. I said the same thing.
Where's the fucking truffle oil?
Genuinely, it was, like I said, it was a good meal.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was a hell of a lot of fun. I got to learn Welsh. I got to play tic-tac-toe with Amelia.
Oh, that's like, fun. Yeah.
Yeah, hell yeah. Yeah, yeah. Like, dude, I was very rich in, like, art fight and art fight adjacent children all weekend. Like, I got a chance to hang out with Hazel during the day and Amelia in the evening, and they got a chance to spend Sunday with the Malahomes. I got a chance to hang out with one of my favorite tiny humans, Miles.
Aww. Like,
oh yeah, I was very rich in children this weekend. It was a lot of fun. Miles
is so cool.
Oh, he's rad.
He just has the biggest smile ever, always.
Biggest braggadocious moment. And I don't know if Dan or Allison are going to see this, but I don't really care. They got him up from a nap, right? He's supposed to like be getting himself changed. He gets himself all nice and changed. Allison picks him up. He sees me, starts climbing out of her arms to climb into mine because he's super excited to see me, points over at his books over at his chair over in the corner. I sit down and get to read a book with him, get him all dressed and everything. They get him dressed in my lap because he would not get up. We go downstairs, insists on, to the point where, like, I'm standing in their, like, in their living room, but, like, not necessarily in their living room. They've got, like, at the base of the stairs, and you got to walk into, like, the living room proper. He starts pushing on the back of my knee to push me into the living room. The second I walk into the living room, he runs over, goes to get a book out of his basket, and then climbs up on the couch and then starts shouting at me.
Oh.
So then I got to read him another book. So, yeah. And then as I was I went over to go help Dan. He's trying to finish his entertainment area in his basement. They just refinished everything. He is a hardworking motherfucker. Like, seriously, those two are amazing together. But getting a chance to basically hang out, and I'm painting the stairwell ceiling, and I've got Miles' legs through the baby gate hanging out there just yelling at me in the stairwell. So good. So good. Yeah, I love having a little tiny friend. It's very funny. And if you check my Instagram, the size comparison of he and I is comical in and of itself.
It's Master Blaster.
Yeah, because, like, right. Yeah, because, like, you see me and you realize, like, my forearms, like, the size of his entire, like, torso.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a wee boy, sweet boy. But
that's adorable.
It's very good getting a chance to hang out with him. He is definitely one of my favorite tiny humans.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Well, sounds like a great weekend. A great weekend was had by all.
Yes, it was. Had by absolutely everyone who was not us. No, I'm kidding. If you weren't us and you were like, boy, howdy, that sounds like a fun weekend. And you're like, boy, howdy, I'd like to go hang out with those guys. You should follow us on social media and then buzz us and be like, hey, we don't want to be creepy, but we kind of want to hang out with you guys. And then we'll do some research and then maybe actually do that.
Yeah, sure.
You have to hit us up.
Yeah. Yeah, because we don't know that people want to hang out with us unless they say something. Like, we cannot.
Right, yeah. I mean, how creepy would it be if I, like, looked at the analytics and then saw where you were recording from and then shot you a random message and been like, yo, friend, let's go hang out. Let's go get a butternut squash pie.
That would require me to figure out how to look at the analytics.
It would require me to look at them in the first place. I like, so there's. It's really a bridge way too far.
Yeah.
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 Oh my God. All right. Brandon Chalmers, where can people find you?
Ironically, on Instagram at that guy Chalmers. I know. I'm surprised too.
Yeah.
Where can they find you, Jamie Noguchi?
I am on Instagram as well. Jamie Noguchi on Instagram, Angry Zen Master on Twitter. Those are the two main places that I hang out. You can find us and more podcasts that are better than us at the hardknockmedia.com media podcasting network. You can check us out there. Yes. We are hoping to do some more events in the future with some of the other groups on there. So
yes.
Stay tuned. Hopefully we'll have more updates on that. I'm hoping to have more things.
And if you're like, boy, howdy, do I want to hang out with these people live and in person? I know at least one of the two of us will be, and I will give them absolute love on here as well. We will be at Super Art Fight this Friday on the 15th at the Auto Bar. Tickets are $15. I believe you can buy them in advance. I would probably buy them at the door, so this way you don't have to pay the service charge. But you should totally do that. It's a hell of a lot of fun. You can come out, have a beer with me. Let me know you listen to the podcast. Hell, you know what? Fuck it. First person to come find me who says, hey, I listen to the podcast, your drink's on me.
Yeah.
There it is.
I might go. It depends on how much work I get done this week. If I sounds do go, good. I'm bringing a camera and I'm just going to hide behind the lens all night.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I will absolutely do the same. So come hang out with us. Come support a bunch of art fighters. Come shout at everybody and just, we're going to shout and we're going to make sure that everyone knows. Now that I'm not part of Art Fight, I get to pick favorites. Yeah. So we're going to make it very clear who I like and who I fucking don't like.
Yeah.
I'm going to make it very clear who I don't like in Art Fight because I'm not going to cheer for them very loudly. I'm not going to cheer for them.
And depending on how it goes, I may or may not stay for the last round. So we'll see.
Really? Wow. Call out and a half.
We'll see how it goes. I may or may not stick around for the end.
I assumed you were going to decide whether or not you were going to stay after the half, depending on how the half goes.
No, I mean, because we're not, the tag belts are the second.
The tag belts are right after the half. So I get it. No, you should be staking around for what I will consider the best match of the night.
Yeah.
The Super Art Fight Tag Team Championship.
Yeah.
But.
I need to see Stomp It On in action.
I know. Yeah. We both need our Stomp It On fix. That's really all it is. All it is that we both need our Stomp It On fix.
Yeah, we are there to support Kelsey. We don't give a shit about anyone else.
Yes. That is absolutely the most important statement of anyone to ever hear is that we cohesively, Jamie Noguchi and I, only give a shit about Stomp It On and no one else at all.
You see, we mentioned Kelsey first when we visited her at Monster of a Show because that's why we were there. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. No, that is very clear that Kelsey Wales is the only person who we're interested in seeing at Super Art Fight as a whole.
Yeah. Think of all the people in Art Fight who have been with us on the road. Who is the most delightful person to be around always? 100% of the time.
Oh man,
it's Kelsey. It's always Kelsey.
it's all about it is Kelsey Wales presents Stomp It On presents Super Art Fight. That's how this works for us.
I'm only regretful that I never got to like tag team with Kelsey and like do like a Power Ranger thing where I call on the kaiju to like come and enter and stuff. That would
you know what? I think you should do that. I think you could totally do that. Just don't tell them what's going on. Talk to Wisteria, get yourself a flower crown and just do a quick swap out. Yeah. Like halfway through the match. Yeah. She just kind of ducks back in the wings. You pop out with a flower crown, hottest of tags, crowd goes banana pants. You draw like a dinosaur or something like that. Hottest of tag backs fade back into the crowd. Just no one knows what's going on.
Yeah.
Definitely both of the hosts won't know what to do. A Baron von Sexeville definitely won't know how to handle any of that.
We shouldn't talk about burying people. We shouldn't
bury. So here's my idea, right? So we're gonna start an training because you're perfect.
We're gonna start an invasion angle.
We start an invasion angle, right? Yeah, we start an invasion angle where you and I show up in like Lucha Mask or something like that, and yeah,
with a chair.
No one will recognize either of us in just Lucha Mask. There's no way that we'll have anything recognizable, Jamie Noguchi's arm, on either one of our drawing arms, that there's no way that anybody will know who we are.
Yeah, like we have like giant brushes attached to steel chairs as we walk down the aisle. Draw this way the entire
I like the idea of a giant brush attached to a steel chair. If that's actually your whole gimmick, where it's just a paintbrush duct taped to a steel chair, you don't put it down. You paint with the chair. Like just
and then in between tags, I unfold it and sit down on it and watch.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Man. We should not do an invasion angle.
No, really, we shouldn't.
Because I don't know. We've done it. we've done our part. We've set the table. It's time for someone else to try to serve a dinner.
I know. I don't want to spoil my undefeated record. I'm the only art fighter in art fight history to be undefeated.
It's true. It's very
At least
true.
I think so. Wait, no, is Noel Stevenson undefeated?
There was a tie.
I
think we made a tie. She technically would have lost to Dan, though.
That's right.
She would have lost to Dan, but we made it a tie. Just because.
That's right. Oh, because Dan is tie. I get what we did there. That's very clever.
Yeah.
Hi. But yeah, so you should go check out Super Art Fight. You should come hang out with us, or at the very least me. I don't know if Jamie will be available, but I will absolutely be there. Come hang out, say hi, joke around with me, cheer for everybody. We definitely will not boo at anyone. That is definitely not what we're going to do.
No, we just won't. We won't boo people because that makes noise.
Yeah, I don't care about that. Please understand, I don't care if you win a match. I want you to hear me boo. Let's not pretend here. Red Aaron's going to be up on stage and her winning. Yeah. She definitely enjoys a win. Red Aaron hearing me at the base of where she's standing, just going, "Boo, you're terrible.
Boo.
Fucking get off the stage. You suck."
Who's Aaron going up against?
She's going against Slash LaRue. Behind the scenes, the wife of our own. Valkyrie.
Valkyrie. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. So is this her? Yeah, so this is her first match.
It is her debut. She is debuting against a multi-time Super Art Fight heavyweight champion, a multi-time Super Art Fight tag team champion. She definitely has a large, large conquest ahead of her if she plans on beating Red Aaron, the most prepared person in Super Art Fight history.
So we're not part of the show anymore, so let's talk shit.
Yeah.
Red Aaron is the nicest person in the entire universe. Like when we went on trips with her, she
debatable. Like, look, it's all a facade. Like Brandon J. Carr tried this whole thing too. I'm the nicest guy in our fight.
Yeah.
Look, let's be clear here. Aaron's great. Up until the point when you try and tell her that Star Wars is better than Star Trek. And then all of a sudden she's like, "Well, your underwear smell like a baby's coffin and you can't read well." And I'm like, "Jesus Christ, Aaron, it's a little fucking aggressive, don't you think?" And she's like, "Well, you could go fuck yourself, but you know, that would require me to talk to you." So,
I know
Aaron a little better than I think a lot of people do. So I know she's a monster.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she definitely does not care for hamsters at all. Just full stop doesn't care for them at all. Just she loudly taps on the glass of fish tanks at Petco. Like that's just a pastime of hers.
But like whenever we had a short list of people that we would want to go on the road with, Aaron was always there because Aaron is very generous with her time. She's very supportive of the artists that she goes up against. When it's go time, she will fucking murder you in your sleep. Like, if you turn your back and if you think you're going to have a cakewalk against Red Aaron, she will murder you because she wants it.
Now, please understand, I'm going to pull the curtain back a little bit here. I have a vested interest here because Slash LaRue works for me, literally, as a day job, works for me. That's my right hand. That's my person. Do you understand? Like there's a hierarchy of people in my world. Slash is making their way up the fucking ranks as the days tick by.
Well, yeah, because like she's part of your family now. Red Aaron is no longer part of our family.
And that's what I'm getting at, Jamie.
Yeah.
Red Aaron's out. She's blacklisted. She's dead to me. Like, I can't see you draw if you're a fucking ghost. Like, drag a penny across the canvas, dip that shit in some ink, because I ain't going to see you Swayze ass. Like, know that. She's dead to me.
But I definitely think there was like a pre-Aaron era and a post-Aaron era, because she was one of the first people to actually request the list ahead of time and practice.
Yeah. Yeah. She ruined it for everybody.
Yeah. Because now people get real nervous when they get the wheel.
I know. They're
like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what. So like, I've seen a lot of people like with their sketchbooks.
I have to see the list. I'm going to panic. I don't know what these topics are. I have to read.
Yeah.
We can't have any of that.
Yeah.
Can't have any of that.
So have you been coaching Slash on the side and getting her to practice, or have you taught her in the ways of the true brush style, which is show up and do whatever the fuck you want?
Come on. Who are you talking to? She is hardened steel, ready to absolutely take someone down at a moment's notice. Like, the character's tight. The art is exceptional.
Yeah,
they know what they're doing. They're prepped. They're ready. They're not going to let a little bit of preparation from Red Aaron intimidate them. Fuck all that. They know Aaron. You know what the truth is? Red Aaron's a former tag team champion. Red Aaron's a former art fight heavyweight champion. Not current. Nobody cares about what you used to do. That's why nobody cares that we were in art fight. Nobody gives a shit.
Yes,
it's about where you at now.
Nobody gives
where you
a
at
shit.
Now. Nobody gives a shit. Know this. Yeah.
No,
I hope Aaron hears all of this and is just so fucking mad at me. I really do.
I don't think she listens to the podcast.
I don't think she does either, but like, I'm not saying that I'm going to tag her in this when I share this and it pops up, but
I may. The description is just going to be, we call out Red Aaron, and that's it.
Yes, that's the only description of what's going on.
People,
we talk Disney Plus, our fun weekend adventures, and how much Red Aaron fucking sucks. That's what's going to happen right now.
And people who have no idea what Super Art Fight, they're going to look at their podcast feed and like, what the fuck is a Red Aaron?
Fuck are these guys out? But the thing is now, genuinely, you know what's interesting though, is we haven't talked about garlic pretzels up until this point. And you know what we can do post Super Art Fight, if we're in the same place at the same time, go get them garlic pretzels.
Oh,
that's what we can do.
Shit.
Oh yes.
How late is our house open?
Oh, I don't know, like 10, 11. Not late enough. No.
But we can get a chicken sandwich beforehand.
We can. I also have a home with a kitchen. We could just decide, fuck sleep. We could come back to my place after the show's done, make garlic pretzels, and then make chicken sandos.
Nice.
Yeah. Yep. Hang a sign out front, Sandos Katy Perry. We just blast firework entire time as we're just making sandwiches.
Sandos Katy Perry.
Sandos Katy Perry.
Yeah, we can have an after party and invite only the people that we want to come.
It's perfect. It'll be great. I can be the host because we won't have any other hosts there. It'll be awesome.
Oh my God.
It's probably time to end the podcast. It's
really we're done.
Probably was
we're
time
done.
To end the podcast a while ago.
We're
anyway,
done.
The important thing is you should come see us Friday and come support everybody and go cheer on Gods and Monsters, because Jesus Christ, we don't need more Barenbon Sexiful in our lives.
Yeah.
And Red Aaron sucks. So thanks, kids. I'll see you guys this weekend.
Burr, burr, burr.
Later. Bye.